You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Hola, ¿qué tal? What's up, everybody? Great to have you with us yet again for another edition of the El Huddle podcast. I am merely Will Salva alongside my hermana, my prima hermana, MJ Acosta Ruiz, who has been a jet setter, jet setting to New York of late. How was your trip?
It was awesome. I missed you though, Will. I will say this. Only in Midtown in New York can you walk into a Starbucks and blasting from the speakers is Romeo Santos. If you're not familiar, he's one of the most popular bachata Latin artists like in the world.
How did
and
you
those
feel?
Are my people. It was great. First of all, I know every song because he's Dominican. Yeah. So like we know that this is like in our blood. But I was like, yep, I'm in New York. This is fantastic. So it was cool to sort of feel that little bit of my culture again. Obviously, New York has so many Dominicans. It's where I grew up. So it was like immediately, like out the gate. First landed, went to go get coffee. Oh, yeah, we're here. Even in Midtown, right, where it's not really where most of the Dominicans live. I'm like, oh, no, we out here, man. We are out here. So it was great. But you know what happens like when you go on trips and like, you know, there's family around. I can't. My mom was so mad.
Everybody.
Right. Well, I didn't tell her that I was going. And she immediately called me.
Ouch.
And she's like, tú no me dijiste that you were going. I'm like, no, you know why? Because you're going to send a family newsletter. And I don't have this amount of time. I came to have a little fun, do like touristy things, even though I know the city. But just like it was the first time I had been there, not for work purposes, in years. So I was like, I just want to take in the city, Mom. I don't want to have to go to the Bronx.
How did she take
respectfully.
It?
Respectfully. She wasn't thrilled with me.
But how, okay. How big of a guilty burden did you feel on your shoulders?
None. I'm too grown, Will. I'm done with the Latina guilt of not seeing every single one of my tias. They know I love them. They know I love them dearly. But if I'm going to set up a trip to see family, then that's what I'm going to do because it's a different itinerary. Feel me? There's a different output of energy. There's a different level of commitment put there. Now, did I miss going to my tia's house and getting bomb Dominican food for dinner? Yes, I did. I missed that very, very much. But yeah, I can't have it both ways, right? So I'm either committing to going and having like the full family trip, or I'm going to do my own thing. So I chose the latter. It's fine. The next one will absolutely be family driven. And I will give my mom plenty of heads up so she can tell everybody on WhatsApp or whatever it is that they use to communicate. But
you see, my parents, my mom, she would give me the biggest guilt trip if went there. And, you know, but I mean, it would be something like I would be feeling the sting for a while.
Yeah, no, I've unsubscribed from that. From that line of thinking.
Okay. So you scroll to the bottom of the page and you hit
immediately
unsubscribe.
Mark as spam. Yeah. No, we're done. But like I heard Nesta was great. We had our great interview last week. I listened to it. My Florida boy.
Yeah.
UM guy. Come on.
UM guy. ASU guy. I mean, talk about melding of worlds, right?
I know. Everything together was like us in a guest.
I love it. Still though, miss you as always, because it's not the same without you. You know, we now are seeing these prospects, MJ, who are now done with their visits. Mm-hmm. And one of the visits that was reported on was the visit of Will Levis to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots currently hold the 14th overall pick. This leads to speculation about Mac Jones. And in a recent press conference, Bill O'Brien, the new OC, didn't really say Mac's my guy. He just said, hey, everybody's going to have a clean slate. What do you think?
I mean, I actually think that Bill O'Brien will be so good for Mac Jones. He's a guy who's had proven success with that organization and I think is more in line with the skill set that Mac Jones brings as a quarterback. What we saw from his first season when they made that playoff push. Hello, rookie, making an appearance in the post. I think last year was sort of like that sophomore slump. There was a lot of tension there. We saw Mac Jones get chippy on the sidelines, which, by the way, I was not against. I like seeing a little bit of that, that chispa, that little spark in somebody. I was like, all right, there he is. Let's get it. So I think this could be, in terms of a clean slate, I took it as, you know what? Now we can sort of, let's call it a mulligan on Mac Jones' second year. And let's see what really under this new direction, under this OC, what it looks like. And I think he'll really evolve and grow. Right. I mean, I think you need that adversity, right, to build character, not only in this league, but to, you know, to get you going, especially in an organization, a dynasty, like what the Patriots are. So I'm excited for him. I actually don't see it as the negative, and especially if it's like a Will Levis situation.
And there's familiarity.
Entirely different.
There's a familiarity from their days in Alabama. This is his third OC experience in 3 years.
It's a lot.
Not exactly something that helps the development of a young quarterback.
Yeah,
it was suggested that last year his dual OCs were like the disgusting brothers from Succession. You know, it's like Cousin Greg and Tom Wamsgan who are there.
Started Succession, by the way. So like the fact that I understand the reference makes me very
happy. You understand. Yeah. Now, you mean like this past season or in
like
general?
I'm in season one, episode six.
Wow. Okay. What do you think of it so far?
First of all, there's nobody to root for, which I think is the point of the show. Unlike our life where we root for everyone, especially these prospects going into the NFL. But yeah, we could have a whole other podcast on just what's going on there.
Yeah, no. Keep
and
watching.
I haven't even scratched the surface is what people are telling me.
Yes. Yeah. So you got to keep binging, keep watching.
The problem is I started it with David, with my husband. So now I can't. I can't
watch
ahead.
You have to wait for him. See, that's always like the dilemma we're in. Yeah. Because sometimes like I feel like it's better just to be separate with trying to binge these shows because of the schedule.
It's too much. Or what if he doesn't want to binge it that day? Like I'm always down for a binge, but like he's like, no, I want to laugh. Which it is a dark comedy, so very dark.
It is. And all the characters really are pathetic, and that's what makes it so fun. And the interaction and the comebacks are just crackling. I love it. So got to keep us updated on that. And we've talked about the 49ers quarterback situation and our guy Ian Rapoport reporting that the 49ers are listening to calls on Trey Lance, but they're not actively seeking a trade at all as Brock Purdy gets healthy. What do you think?
I think, look, it's nice to be courted, right? To have people picking up the phone about you if I'm Trey Lance. The reality is we haven't even gotten to see his full potential. We haven't even seen his base level potential yet because it's such a small sample size of the games that he's actually started for the 49ers and the very unfortunate injury that he suffered last season. So I think the upside there, I will say this about all of these teams calling. If I'm another team and this is a quarterback that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch jumped up to get in the draft, I'm trusting their scouting, right? I'm trusting what the due diligence they did
on
this quarterback, right? 100%. So it's like, all right, well, Shanny and Co. did the work for me. Like, why wouldn't I give this guy a chance? Because really, if you're thinking about the amount of quarterbacks that we have, if you're a team that doesn't have high draft capital, you're maybe in the second round, in the third round, and you are looking for a QB, even if it's not maybe a starter, you're taking, in my opinion, the same amount of risk in going after Trey Lance than one of these prospects who, yes, we know the evaluations. We've seen what they've done at the combine, what they've done in college, but you just don't know until they hit the field in the NFL. So
I don't know if you saw this. It was in the USA Today sports section, and it had the top 50 bus.
I know.
The draft, right? And so, you know, they have Ryan Leaf and Tony Mandrich and Jeff George.
I've heard Ryan Leaf's name so many times this week. Can we let the man live? Oh my God.
I know. Well, he came on our show. He's like, just let me be. And he's grappled with it. Mm-hmm. And he just said because Bill Polian talked about meeting him at the combine.
Yeah.
And Ryan Leaf came on our show and said, nope, that didn't happen. And I feel like my name
not
has been
receipts.
Sullied. I understand. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. So it was actually, I don't know if it's fun, but to see that unfold, it's like, Ryan, you know, set the record straight. So the reason why I bring this up, though, is because Zach Wilson was on the list and Trey Lance was on the list.
I don't think that's fair because we haven't really seen anything yet.
Right. I thought that was like too soon because we have not seen enough. I feel like we've seen enough of Zach Wilson, for crying out loud. They're just waiting for Aaron Rodgers to get there. And Saleh did his best to try to diffuse the situation by saying, hey, listen, he's making strides. We're trying to help him out. But, you know, didn't win in the podium, not winning on the field. I get the Zach Wilson one, but the Trey Lance is too soon.
Yeah,
just too
soon. I don't think we have enough to go off to say a bust. Now, injury concerns, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
That's legit. Yeah.
But to say that he's a bust already, now maybe they're going off of information that we're not privy to. Well, but I just, I need a,
I don't know, maybe.
I need to see it and or not see it right out on the field. So
Right. Now, how about your guy Tua saying that he thought about retiring?
Yeah. I mean, look, of course he did. I think when you have, I think it would have been disingenuous for him to say that he hadn't thought about it. And we know him well enough. We know the type of man that he is, that he's always going to speak the truth in terms of his experience. Right. So I actually appreciated that he was candid enough to say that to us, because, by the way, that's none of our business. Like, that is to his point, and he said this directly,
that's
a direct quote, it is my health, it is my body, it is my career. And I agree with that. But when you have that type of injury and the type of season that he had last year and all that he went through, you have a new baby boy, you're contemplating these things with your wife, like, that's heavy. I can't even, I can't even imagine, because neither of us have been in that position. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, of course you have to put that on the table and discuss it, even if you dismiss it immediately, which seems to have been the case with him. I think, of course, we're going to grab that word and be like, oh my God, and like run with it. But like, it would be unfair to not talk about that option. Or at least, what does it look like down the line? Let's go to worst case scenario, best case scenario. Like, you really do have to have such a comprehensive conversation and have backup plans for everything. So I think it was very sage of him to say that. And at the end of the day, I'm rooting for the guy, because not only am I a Dolphins fan, I'm a Tua fan. And I think last year what was so hard to square was seeing him play at the potential that not only the Dolphins knew he had, but I think the people who had been following him through this college career knew he had. I mean, he was on pace for a 4,000 yard season, more than that.
It just was that incredibly efficient.
100%.
Yes. So incredibly efficient, and that offense was absolutely humming,
clicking
when it was going. MJ, right?
100%. So,
so I get that it's on the table and should be on the table. He also said that he was training in jiu-jitsu to help him learn to fall safely. And I know guys are taking jiu-jitsu. It seems like it's something that helps out with. Their quickness, you know, and hand eye, et cetera. And so if that helps him out, let's hope it does. And that the O-line is healthy enough to keep him healthy back there, because I did see that offense was so much fun. And we wondered how it would be like with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and those guys each got 1,000 yards. So it's better to see two out there, not hurting, but obviously his health is first and foremost.
Absolutely. I actually really like, on the jiu-jitsu point, I don't know if you know this about me, Will, but very early on in my career, I covered boxing.
Did you take
MMA.
It?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
no, but I did cover boxing and MMA very, very closely. I was a licensed boxing announcer for the Florida Boxing Commission. One of
Were
my
you
many
really?
Lives. Yes. So
wow,
I was
okay.
around it at these gyms, talking to these instructors and to these athletes for years. And the whole thing about jiu-jitsu is the grappling aspect of it, the takedown
That's
to the
right.
ground,
yeah.
the being able, and I think Tua said this in his press conference, was being able to disperse your energy, right? Like, not just getting out of something on the ground, but also being able to know that you're okay, to not freak out, to know how to protect yourself. So I think those are all things. Now, how quickly he can actually put those into practice in a football setting, because don't forget, the octagon is very different than the gridiron, right? So yeah. I think it's being able to use those skills tangibly into being able to protect himself to have that longevity in his career. I think he's taking all the right steps, and it's clear that he has a lot of good people around him as well. So I love this.
I love learning all the stuff about you. I had no idea. That is so cool.
I've lived many lives, Will.
Yeah. Well, I think we all do in this business, right?
Yeah, and for sure.
I remember working locally in San Francisco and interviewing Frank Shamrock, not Ken Shamrock, but Frank Shamrock, his brother. And it was in MMA's infancy,
right?
And about the octagon. And there were articles in Sports Illustrated talking about it being this horrible blood sport. And to see where it's become, you know, and how big it is 100%. In the following, you can't deny it. I mean, people like it. I mean, there was a time where boxing was everything. And I felt like then boxing took a back seat to MMA.
Mm-hmm. I went to more ATT's American Top Team, like, training facilities than I can count. All over South Florida, like, it's so huge in South Florida. And of course, the international guys coming from Brazil, coming from Latin America, it's huge. So I think the set of skills will only help, for sure. I'm excited for him. Nothing but good vibes for Tua.
Yeah. Positive vibes to @TuaMan, which is a great Twitter handle. Love that.
Yeah.
You know what else we love is guests. And we actually have a guest that we know extremely well because we work with him. Actually, you work with him more than I do because he's there in studio.
I know.
So this is going to be great. We're going to have Bucky Brooks on breaking down some of the prospects.
Yeah.
Some of the prospects that we're interested in seeing, and what impact they could bring. And you know, we always say it when we see something, say, oh, mira, ya es Latino, mira, ese es otro Latino. Well, that's what we're going to do here. We're going to go through, we're going to talk about some of these prospects with Bucky. So stick around for that. That'll be a lot of fun.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Okay, everybody calm down. Actually, don't calm down. Be hype, because I know I am. I know Will is.
Yes, me too.
Because we're joined by our very special guy. I mean, I don't even think we can call him a guest, right? Because, like, he's here. No. He's our coworker, NFL analyst and podcaster. The man who does it all, has more jobs than I had growing up. Bucky Brooks in the house to help us break down all of our draft needs. Nobody watches more film. Bucky, of course, we've been focusing in on a lot of the Latino prospects, as we were just talking about Dominican Republic. Will and I have a similar experience because my dad can't watch a baseball game without specifically pointing out who the Dominican players are.
Well, that's what you do.
And I'm like, Dad, we're going to be here all day.
Yeah,
there's a lot of every guy that comes up to the bat, it's a Dominicano. I'm like, I got it. So that's what we're doing now with our draft prospects. Like, oh, he's a Latino. Like, so let's focus in, because we know the big ones, the Christian Gonzalez is, Jose Ramirez, but are there any guys that we have not been focusing on that really need to be on our radar?
So I think obviously when we're talking about the draft, we always talk about in this side, play the hits. So before we can just fast forward and move from Steve Avila and Christian Gonzalez, we need to talk about those guys, because those guys could be the ones that really carry the flag 100%. As your early round prospects. And so Avila from TCU is outstanding at the point of attack. And he has crept in contention of being like a really solid first round pick at TCU. When you watch him, look, he's very solid in all aspects in terms of solid position blocker. When you watch him, he's quick with his hands, quick with his feet, does a really good job of what we call jumping the defensive lineman, meaning he sets quickly, gets into him before they can get going, and he's able to win the down. He has a level of versatility where he can play multiple spots on that offensive line. And so coming out of TCU, he is arguably their highest rated prospect outside of Quentin Johnson. And so he has an opportunity to be the first off the board for TCU, but he could be a very, very solid first round pick.
Ooh, maybe for the Cowboys? How about for the Cowboys, Bucky?
I mean, I'm sure the Cowboys and that fan base would be rabid. I mean, like, it would be all kinds of stuff that would be skewed. Like, that would be a great opportunity for him to be able to play. And so, yeah. Look, he's terrific. But then the guy, Christian Gonzalez, will be the first one to
go.
Yeah,
I think so.
And Christian Gonzalez, coming out of Oregon, obviously having the ties. His sister is a very acclaimed and accomplished.
She was on the podcast here.
Yeah,
we had her on.
Accomplished track and field athlete. You then see him, though. He's tall. He's athletic. He has great instincts and awareness. He's a very versatile game in terms of being able to play press. He can play off. He has great instincts and awareness and ball skills. And he's a baller. And so because of that, you know, we've talked about him being one of the guys at the top of the board. But there's conversation that he could be the first DB to come off the board. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that and tying in, he has an opportunity to carry the flag as well.
Love that one.
What's the best fit for him, do you think, Bucky? Mm. What teams make
it's funny because we had a conversation today on the Mood of Six podcast where we were talking about Christian Gonzalez potentially going to the Seattle Seahawks. And the reason why is because they're sitting at five. They have really done a really good job of rebuilding their defense and their team. They bring Bobby Wagner back. They bring over Deion Bush. They have Jamal Adams dropping down in the box. They signed Jaren Reed to go and play inside. They have Draymond Jones coming. So this team is ready to pop, and you're looking at the missing piece opposite Tariq Woolen. When they were in their glory days, they had two big corners. They had Brandon Browner and Richard Sherman. So now you go get another 6'2 corner to play on that side. It certainly makes a lot of sense for them to go and get Christian Gonzalez at the top.
And Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant
playing in nickel. Yeah, so they have a lot of versatility. And so a team that is quietly, we didn't think this would happen when they let go of Russell Wilson. We thought they would take a step back. They've actually gotten better, and they're now putting themselves back in a chance to make a title run if they get Christian Gonzalez early in the draft.
Now we know why Pete Carroll has been taking all these selfies right around the facility in a scooter. Yeah. He's living his best life. He's like, you know what? You guys can go ahead and overlook us. That's fine. Because right now you're rattling off all these names. It's giving Legion of Boom 2.0.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love this for Seattle. Ooh. Which of the prospects do you think could really have the biggest impact next year? And we have a great group, like you said, Steve Avila, Christian Gonzalez, of course, Jose Ramirez, Chris Rodriguez Jr., Nesta Silveira, who we had, and Jalen Moreno Cropper.
Well, normally, look, those first two guys can do it. But let's talk about the pass rusher from Eastern Michigan, because when we think about the ability to impact the game, it's creating turnovers. And the easiest way to create turnovers on defense is to either knock the quarterback down, to force him to throw under duress, to hit him and knock the ball loose, or to just create disruption that disrupts the flow of the game. And so when you think about Ramirez and how he plays, high motor player, electric, off the edge, nonstop when it comes to his ability, like, those guys wear people out over time. And so over time, he's going to be a guy that's going to be a thorn in the side of offenses. And so he has an opportunity to have a very significant impact, even though he'll be drafted later than those other guys.
What do you make of Chris Rodriguez? He, I believe, is the second leading rusher in school history. He's a bulldozer when he's out there with the ball in his hands. Where do you think he makes the most sense? And I guess the bigger conversation goes to the value of running backs, which has been a topic of conversation, that they've been devalued. Why take one in the first round? Although I think Bijan Robinson is an absolute stud. But
and he's the only one here really in that conversation.
Yeah, exactly. So how does a guy like Chris Rodriguez fit in?
So it's really difficult because the devaluation of the running back is real.
Yeah.
And it's significant. It has impacted the way that people view it. A lot of this can be blamed on Mike Shanahan and the system and what people saw them do without marquee names in terms of churning out 1,000-yard seasons. And so because of that, everyone believes that they can find a running back day two, day three. And so when you think about supply and demand, this year, unfortunately, there's a ton of running backs that can play. And so we're thinking day three is where he will hear his name call, but who knows where he goes. But there is a place in the league for a banger, a big back that has some physicality and toughness that can do all the dirty work between the tackles. It's just a matter of where do you value that in today's game? Because it's a passing league and people aren't necessarily trying to play rock'em sock'em robot football. Everyone wants to throw it. And so because of that, it decreases his value on the board, even though he's a really good player.
Yeah, they don't want to play that style until they have to, until they get into a position where they need to run it. Then suddenly that's all we can talk about is establishing the run game and being more physical. What I love about Bucky is he can just rattle stuff off, and it's because no one prepares like this man. Bucky, how much tape do you actually watch in a year, and how far out do you start before the
excellent draft? Questions. Yes. Excellent questions. I want to know.
So a lot of it is like, I live in all these worlds, right? So I live in the high school world because of coaching and because of doing a bunch of stuff with Nike. So you see a lot of these guys early. So you hear the names when they're in high school, you begin to develop relationships and those things. And then being a football junkie, a fan, you watch all these football games on Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
You're watching
all these college games. And so you begin to hear the names. And then when it's time to turn the page to really study them, I mean, you start your process heavily December, January, because you're getting ready for the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine and those things. And then as the combine comes, you dig into it a little more. And now we're on. We got Path to the Draft. We're jumping on Total Access. You do Good Morning Football. Like, there are a bunch of different things, so you have to talk about them. So you're always aware, but the tape study really starts at the end of the college season.
Well, listen, Bucky, I mean, you are all over it. Obviously, you played in the league, so you know what it takes to get to that level. Mm-hmm. You're there in the high school level, and you see a lot of these players. Bryce Young was a stud in Southern California. He was from Pasadena, but then starred at Modern Day, which is a powerhouse here, not only in Southern California, but in the U.S. Were there any signs or whispers that you were hearing about this guy and you thought, wow, this guy is going to go far? I mean, can you tell that early what a guy can do and how far he can go?
Okay, so this is interesting because I always have to keep these guys linked together. So Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are both LA guys. So CJ Stroud is from Rancho Cucamonga. Bryce Young is originally from Pasadena but played at Modern Day. And so Bryce Young was the bigger name coming out throughout because he's playing at a marquee program. He's playing at Modern Day. Modern Day has national attention and acclaim. I think they won two national titles while he was the starting quarterback. Wow. The funny thing is he started at a school in L.A. called Cathedral High School. Bryce Young was a freshman quarterback who they had a senior at the time that he entered school. And so they were alternate quarters with Bryce Young and the senior. So the senior, if you can imagine this, would start the first quarter and the third quarter. Bryce Young would play the second quarter and the fourth quarter.
He was the closer.
Wow.
On the surface, that wouldn't appear to be a big deal. But the fact that you have a freshman closing out games speaks to how he was as a ninth grader. And then he goes to Modern Day and becomes all everything. And so he is a guy who has been well prepared to be in the situation that he's about to embark upon in terms of being the face of the franchise and those things. He goes from Modern Day to dealing with the machine of Alabama. He wins a Heisman Trophy, so he's acquitted himself well as a leader, but he's also represented big brands.
Yeah.
And so if you're David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers, and that appears to be who they're honing in on, there's a level of comfort in knowing that I've seen someone deal on the big stage under the bright lights for so long that this is not going to be something that overwhelms him as the leader of our team.
Bucky, I do feel like you are more, you're a little more conservative on your like rankings, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't go out there just because you want to make a splash here, putting this guy. And I noticed that in your top five QBs, most recent edition, Bryce did jump up. Why was that?
So we moved him up. And so like, I will be honest, this has always been the debate. And so my affinity for Bryce Young and CJ Stroud goes deeper than just normal watching. They played for me at a Nike event. I had both of those guys on my team.
Right.
However, CJ Stroud won the MVP when we won the championship. And so they have always gone back and forth, but you would think something that would be a rivalry, they're really good friends.
They are.
And so the thing about it, I've compared CJ Stroud, the debate between CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, to the debate that you could have maybe with the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. One is the prototype, the other one is the performer. So the prototype is CJ Stroud when you think about size, arm talent, attributes, all the things that you look for at the position for the last 30 years. Well, CJ Stroud checks the box. The performer, though, is Bryce Young. Undersized, slender frame, but when you watch him play, he is always dazzled. And then when you go and think about looking for a bad game, you can't find one. The consistency that he has displayed as a player, you can't deny. And so I'm actually breaking one of my rules because normally, and I learned this from Ron Wolf, like having been in Green Bay for so long, he said, look, if you start making exceptions, you'll have a team full of exceptions. Mm. But I'm making an exception for Bryce Young because he doesn't have the prototypical dimensions, but he's so good that I'm willing to bank on it because I come from a place where when Drew Brees came out, it was my first year scouting. Drew Brees was all everything. But Drew Brees, no matter what he did, we still gave him a second round grade because he didn't check off all the boxes. And so it's still hard for me to shake those norms when it comes time to talk about Bryce Young, but I'm doing it. But look, as much as I love Bryce Young, I could just give a glowing report about CJ Stroud.
Sure.
I believe it's a rare instance where both guys are really, really good and talented. I just decided at the end to give Bryce the nod.
Well, let's continue talking about these quarterbacks because you have Stroud and you have Young, and then there's Richardson, who just is dripping, oozing talent there. And then you have Will Levis, who has a rocket for an arm. And Levis, coincidentally, according to one of our NFL Network insiders, is or had a visit with the Patriots. Do you see that as a place that he could potentially go? Or is it just the Patriots maybe doing their due diligence?
So there are a couple different things when it comes to Will Levis. The Indianapolis Colts' interest in him at four is significant and real.
Yeah.
He possibly could end up jumping CJ Stroud as the second quarterback to come off the board, even though I don't see him as that kind of player. So we have to be prepared for that. The interest from the Patriots is also interesting, but some of this is also what teams want to do when it comes to doing their due diligence.
Correct.
Your job as the decision maker, the general manager, the head of everything, is to make sure that you have dotted your I's and crossed your T's on all the prospects. Because this class is the most volatile draft class that we've seen, who knows what's going to happen and who is going to be available. There are scenarios where C.J. Stroud could be staring at the Atlanta Falcons at eight. You can say that Desmond Ridder is your franchise quarterback, but then do you bypass C.J. Stroud to do something else? And so with the Patriots, if one of these guys is sitting right there at 14, you may love Mac Jones or not. Now you have to at least have the conversation, Mac Jones, Will Levis, which one gives us the best chance over the next 5 years to be the team that we want? And so you have to have these conversations. Whether you pull the trigger or not, it is only right for the sake of the franchise that you at least bring him in and know everything that you can know about him before you make a decision, yay or nay, on whether he could be your pick.
What I love about the draft is when the panic sets in, right? Like all of a sudden you got one, two, three guys in the same position and everyone's like, wait, no. And then there's a run on that position. I don't know that that'll happen with the QB position. Like I'm sort of the mindset that five guys going in the first round is a little generous.
It's real generous. And let's be honest, because we talk about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. Hendon Hooker outplayed both of those guys in the same league.
Talk about it.
Hendon Hooker has a torn ACL, but when you look at the way that they played, Hendon Hooker over a two-year period had better numbers, was more efficient, was more effective in the same league.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to go goo goo gaga over Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, who have been less productive players, we have to at least give Hendon Hooker his flowers. And so I am just curious because coming off of last year when I felt like, and this is honest, this is what we do on TV. We play the hits. Everyone loves the quarterbacks because of your fantasy teams and all of that. And so we talked about the quarters. But then when it came down to it, Kenny Pickett was the only guy to go. So in this year's draft, I just wonder, are we going to talk about these quarterbacks like we talked about? And then come draft night, we don't hear them come off the board in the first round. Who are going to be the quarterbacks that slide out of the first round, if at all? To me, it just seems unlikely that all five quarterbacks that we've talked about throughout this are going to be first round picks.
Right.
Because I don't know if they all grade out as true first round picks.
Well, do you think Hooker can go to a place like the Titans?
You know, it's interesting because it's in state. You talk about the Tennessee Volunteer, that love, and you're trying to fill out the stadium. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a possibility. I think it's more likely maybe the Minnesota Vikings at 23 or the New Orleans Saints at the bottom of the first round, because those are spots where you have someone who has a torn ACL. He can redshirt. He can sit for a year or two without the pressure of having to play because you have established guys in the building. I think he's more likely to go in the 20s more so than at the top of the board, even though if he wasn't hurt, he would be in that conversation.
Can I just put a hypothetical out here? And you guys may have, since you analyze every aspect of this. A team a lot of people aren't talking about a lot is the Rams. Obviously, they don't have a first-round pick. They haven't had one in what feels like an eternity. But they are high second round. Matt Stafford, there were rumors last year, potentially maybe thinking about retirement. Mm-hmm. Could you see them maybe jumping up for a guy of the future?
Well, at some point, they have to get one. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us thought that when Baker Mayfield signed there last year, he was kind of setting the table for him to be the eventual starter when Matthew Stafford retires. He goes to Tampa Bay, so now they have a hole at that spot. So, yeah, at 36, they certainly have to entertain it. Now, I know Leslie had a T-shirt, F them picks.
Right.
But now I bet he probably has another shirt. Like, please give me those picks.
No, just kidding.
You know, but
that's on the back of the T-shirt.
He needs some picks because they're going to need picks to be able to bring this back. So I'm really fascinated by the Rams and what they do on draft night. But really, I'm fascinated by what Sean McVay does, because this will require him to be at his best to be able to get this team to a competitive level with the mass exodus of blue chip players that we've seen.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about the Malibu house or any at all this year.
Well, I mean, No, I don't know if he's been at – I don't even know if they're having a draft
house.
I don't think they're having a draft house this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Hey, Bucky, we touched upon it earlier in our conversation just about the running back position. And Bijan Robinson is unbelievable, the career that he's had at Texas. It seems like he's just one of the top prospects, period, across the board. We had Mel Kiper on Good Morning Football. He said, I have no idea where he's going to go. It feels like most people have him going to the Eagles, but that doesn't seem like that's something that the Eagles ever do or Howie Roseman wants to do. So where do you see Bijan Robinson going?
You know, it's tough because if we grade him on the talent, he's probably the third or fourth best player in this draft class. Unfortunately, because he plays running back and because the noise has overwhelmed us to the point where we don't value running backs, he won't go early. I don't anticipate him going early. I think the stopping spots for him, number 8 at Atlanta, number 10 potentially with Philly, 14 with the Patriots, and then we get into the 20s. And the team to watch in the 20s, the Chargers would be a natural fit at 21. America's team, the Cowboys, at 26 would certainly be in play. And so somewhere in that wide range, that's where Bijan Robinson will hear his name, but I'm sure it's difficult for him. He has no idea when he's going to go. And I don't know if any of us can confidently say, oh, this seems like the landing spot for Bijan Robinson.
Right. It's always interesting. Yeah. Lastly, before we let you go, Bucky, when do you sleep? Because you do it all. Analyst, coach, podcast host, jump on all of our, help us out in all of our podcasts, all of our shows. I mean, how many hours?
Sleep is overrated. Right.
Well, I mean, like right after Jeopardy.
That's amazing. Bucky, thank you so much. Such great insight,
so great.
As always. We could talk to you for hours, but you know, we all got a lot of stuff to do. We appreciate your time, Buck.
Yeah. Best. Appreciate you, Buck.
In Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Mintmobile.com/compatibility.